in is already. I said, does? He goes, yeah. Right? So he pointed it out that if you look at the sign where it says in Christ, you got in at the top, and I'm assuming is right there at the cross also. There you got the line. There you go, man. That's good stuff. Like you designed this or something like that. I didn't see that when I designed it, but that works for me. So anyone whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. So if you are in, you is. And it's even on the sign. He brought it to my attention tonight. So let's get ready to get in the Word tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Everybody blessed tonight? Enjoying winter? I tell you, I'm blessed. God is good. Amen. And today's been a great day. Every day's a great day. Amen. Every day's a good day. Great day. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That word new doesn't mean to be renovated. Doesn't mean to be remodeled. It means never seen before. What we're talking about, this new life, had never been seen before. It's something so incredibly new that God did in his son Jesus, and we get to walk in it. It says, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. I want us to look at verse 16 a little bit tonight and dig into some things in verse 16. It says in verse 16, because verse 17 says, therefore. So when there's a therefore, there must be something before the therefore, right? And in verse 16, it says, therefore, from now on. Okay? When I see the word now on, that to me says something we were doing it one way in the past, right? But what? From now on, we're going to do it different. Come on, right? That from now on, if someone comes in and says, you know, this is the way we've always done it, and the boss says, yeah, okay, that's good, that worked, but from now on, so there's a change. And he says, from now on, in verse 16, from now on, we regard no one. Say no one. So how many people are outside no one? Zero, none, right? So no one. So that's everyone, right? That's you. Come on, you, and also what? Me. Come on, that's everyone, right? So no one. So what? From now on, we regard no one according to what? To the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Okay, he says from now on. So in the past, we've done this. We've known each other according to the flesh. But from now on, we know no one according to the flesh. Now, that word flesh is just it's a real tricky word. It really kind of trips us up because we don't always define or look at it correctly in its context. When we think of flesh, we immediately think of our natural man, our physical man. Or if we think of flesh, we immediately think of the deeds of the flesh. The works of the flesh, we immediately think of what when we think of the works of the flesh, what do we think of? Does the works of the flesh equal righteousness, or does normally the works of the flesh equal sin? We normally think it equals what? Sin. Okay? So when we have that mindset that the works of the flesh equal sin, what we tendency have to do is we have a tendency to attach sin to the flesh. So that there's no difference between the two. That when you see flesh, you're automatically thinking unrighteousness and sin. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says this, that our body is not our own. That it's been bought with a price. And that it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body, our physical man. It says that we're supposed to glorify God in our spirit and in our bodies. So if our mindset is always coming, establishing from the standpoint that flesh equals negative sin, that and we attach that to our natural man, our one part of our third part being, then we're always going to have this mindset that there's a part of us that always is against and resists God. But I'm here to show you that Paul said in Romans, he said that we yield our members either as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, or we yield our members as instruments of righteousness to God. Okay? So we have to understand when it says the flesh there, is it talking about a third part of our being? Is it saying that I should no longer know that Mary is Mary based upon Mary? Natural? No. It's saying that we should no longer regard each other or anyone according to what? The flesh. Now, we're going to look at some things tonight. We're going to get into some things. I believe that this newness of life that we've had, and let's look at that real quick since I brought it up. Go with me to Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. And I've got a lot of scripture written down, and we'll just see where we get. Okay, Romans chapter 7, verse 6. It says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the what? Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." That we should serve God, serve the Lord, in what? The newness of the Spirit, and not the oldness of the letter. Look at verse 5. Just right above it. "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law." Okay, so he says, when we were what? In the flesh. Come on, right? In the flesh. Now let me ask you a question. Is that past tense? I asked that last Wednesday, I believe it is, and that's past tense, right? So when we were in the flesh, but then in verse 6, he says, "But now..." Okay, there's that word now again. So we're no longer in the flesh, right? But now, it says, "We have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Look at this here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Paul said here, "But you are not what?" What's wrong? What's it, verse 9 say of Romans chapter 8? "But you are not what? In the flesh, but in what? In the Spirit. Serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of what? The letter." I'm going to show you that we could literally, where it says oldness of the letter, we could literally say serve in the newness of the Spirit and not serve in the oldness of the flesh. He says you're no longer in the flesh, but you're what? In the Spirit. Go with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. We're going to dig into some scripture. We're going to be bouncing around a lot. Romans 6 verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with him through the baptism and death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life." Now, anytime you see newness or new or anything like that, again, that evidently means we've gone from something that was previous old into something that was what? New. So, no longer are we in the flesh, but we are in the what? Spirit. Come on, right? Isn't that what Paul said? Okay? He said at one time you were married to the old way, but now you should walk in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Okay? So we have two words that we're kind of looking at. Flesh and what? Spirit. Old way and what? Newness of life. The Bible says, we've seen this, that the law brought condemnation and what? Death. But the Spirit brings what? Righteousness and life. Come on. So we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity, evidently, to live either way. We can live in the flesh, and see what we immediately think but living in the flesh means that we still cheat, commit sins, and all those things. And we're going to find out that that's the deeds of the flesh. But you can live in the flesh and not do any of those things, because you're living according to the oldness of the letter and not the newness of the Spirit. Okay? In fact, that's what the early church dealt with. And not just the early church, but the church forever dealt with that. Because like I said on Sunday morning, I grew up in a denomination where they taught you that you get saved through Christ, but then you have to begin to start earning everything after that. And if you don't earn enough while you're here, you make it just halfway to heaven. Place called purgatory. All right? It's because you weren't good enough to make it all the way. You weren't bad enough to not make it at all. So you make it halfway. And the saints that are still here, and the saints that are even in heaven, will be praying for you. And come on, right? Am I right or wrong? So what happened is we began in grace, but then all somehow, some way, we came into an earn process. So what we're doing is we're here. We're under the new of the Spirit, but we constantly have a problem slipping back into living according to the old. Okay? It is a part of our old to want to be justified by what we do. And we have to kill that. We have to kill that. Think of this, when Cain and Abel, all right, Adam and Eve sinned, kicked out of the garden. God said to Adam, he said, out of the ground you will plant, sweat, and it will produce fruit, and you will eat. Cain and Abel came along. The Bible says that Cain was a tiller of the ground. Cain was, in a sense, a farmer, like a seed farmer, and Abel was a watcher of the sheep. Now, Cain and Abel both brought sacrifices or offerings from what they had accomplished and done. Abel brought a sheep and offered the sheep and the fat thereof. When it says the fat thereof, that means that he sacrificed the sheep. Sacrifice blood goes all the way back to when God clothed Adam and Eve with skins. You think he just said, hey, give me your coat? No, there was a sacrifice. There was bloodshed to cover Adam and Eve's sin. Abel brought a sacrifice of blood. Cain brought the first fruits of the ground. Okay? And the Bible says that God wasn't pleased with Cain's offering, but was pleased with Abel's offering. And what we see is all the way back there, there's a desire for what we do, what we accomplish, what we do to try to please or try to justify ourselves on the side of God. And it doesn't work. Okay? Abel, and there's a whole lot more there, man. I'm studying that out right now because the ground actually was cursed and Cain brought the fruit of the ground as the offering instead of the blood sacrifice as the offering. It says God wasn't pleased. We don't know what happened. Cain got upset. It says Cain's countenance fell and that Cain killed Abel. Okay? There's this desire that is so inerrant in us because of the fall for us to try to be justified by what we do. And it sneaks in. It sneaks in. I'm saved by grace, but then all of a sudden I get ready to ask God for his help in my life and I think, brother, you didn't even read the Bible today. Why is God going to help you? What the enemy's doing is he's accusing me. You know, you said you'd get up in the morning, you're going to pray, and you didn't get up this morning and pray. Why is God going to hear you? All of a sudden, somehow, some way, what God does in my life is based upon what I do. You see how it sneaks back in? There's an old way that we can live, or there's a new way that we can live. I'm trying to receive a blessing from God. I'm trying to receive a financial blessing in my life. I'm trying to receive healing in my life. And all of a sudden, somehow we attach it to our performance instead of attaching it to God's grace. We talked about that Sunday, right? We're no longer under the law, but we're under what? Grace. Now, he said, regard no one according to what? The flesh. So let's get into some things here tonight. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Ephesians 4:24. If we're not supposed to regard anyone any longer according to the flesh, what should we, or how should we regard everyone then? There's two words we talked about, right? We got the old. Over here is what? What's over here, right? Flesh, right? What's over here? Spirit. Come on, right? If we're not supposed to regard anyone any longer according to what? Flesh. What should we regard each other according to? Spirit. Including us regarding ourself. It's not just how I look at you, it's how I look at me that makes the difference. Okay? If I'm always seeing myself according to this and not according to what God has created in Christ, if I'm always regarding myself according to this and not regarding myself according to this, if I'm always regarding myself to this, then this is how I always think. I always come from the mindset that I'm over here and I'm no good and I'm always striving to do something. If I'm regarding myself according to what He's created in the Spirit, then I come from a completely different mindset. And we'll look at that tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Somebody find it? Let me... Let's start in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So what are we supposed to do? Put off this over here, right? This old. So you put off concerning the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind, and that you put on the new. Is the old man's over here, right? Okay, over on this side. What's over on this side? The old. What's over on this side? It's flesh. Okay, we put on what over here? The new. What's over on this side? Spirit. We're no longer walking in the oldness of the letter, but we're walking and living in the newness of what? Life in the Spirit. The Spirit brings life. The letter brings what? Death. Okay? That you put on the new man, which was created according to God. So this new man, this new creation that we are, it was created according to who? According to who? According to God. Come on, right? So this new creation was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So what were the... Righteousness and what? Holiness. So this new creation that we are created in Him was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now I want to give you the definition of the word in there. The word in means to be within. It means to be inside. What it does not mean is for. Okay, you cannot read it this way. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, for true righteousness and holiness. But that's how we read it. Meaning that we've been created a new creation for righteousness. Now, it's what we do again. And for holiness is what we do again. But that's not what it says there. It doesn't say for, it says in. Right? So this new creation was created not for righteousness, even since it is, not for holiness, even since it is, but it was created in true righteousness and in true holiness. Now, who did the creating? God, not us, right? So what we're teaching here, some people get upset about, they get worked up about, but what we're teaching truly is giving God all the credit. You're a new creation created in Christ. All things have passed away, all things have become new. You have been created in true righteousness and in true holiness, not for righteousness, not for holiness, because that would be dependent upon you. But you've been created, you're His workmanship, created in Christ. You've been created in true righteousness and true holiness. The word true there means to be a fact. Okay? As compared to an illusion. The word truth there means to be fact. So let me ask you a question. If it's a fact that in the new creation, I have been created in true righteousness and in true holiness, that scripture where it says, he who knew no sin became sin so that I might become the, I might become what? The righteousness of God. Come on, right? That's fact. But what if I don't, what if my mind's not renewed to that fact? Think about it. Let me ask this question. The Bible says that, we say this all the time, if our physical body, there's an element in our physical body, but the Bible says that by his stripes we were healed, past tense, even though our physical body is saying that we may not be healed. What is truth? What is the truth? That we are what? Healed. Come on, right? It's the fact. The fact is that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? Because of what I've done? No, because of what he's done. The truth is, the fact is, I have been created in true holiness. That's the fact. Holiness. I can't become any more holy than I've already been created in. Now let me show you something. When I regard myself according to this over here, then I'm always struggling to be holy. When my mindset comes from this over here, where I've been created in this, it's his workmanship, then I'm coming from a completely different mindset. Okay? I'm living according to the Spirit and not according to the old. I'm telling you, this is a paradigm shift in our thinking. It's like the prophet and the servant in the Old Testament. Okay? Remember when the servant of the old prophet came to him and said, he'd gone outside and they were surrounded by all the armies. And he went to the prophet and he said, now look, you ran your mouth. You went around running your mouth, and now they found us. Now come out here and look. Look what's going on. Now we're surrounded. Now we're done. And what did the prophet say? The prophet said there's more with us, for us, than there are against us. And he said what? God opened his eyes that he might see. Now let me ask you a question. When his eyes were open and he saw the chariots, was it all of a sudden that the chariots were there, or were the chariots always there? Always there. So the fact was that the chariots were always there. That's what the fact was. But the servant, because he wasn't seeing that, was living according and out of the old instead of what we would say living out of the new. Can you see what I'm saying there? I'm telling you, this teaching is transforming my thinking. And every Sunday, I've never had a subject like this that is not weight, but we were talking to someone this Sunday, the weight of this subject, because there's so much. Paul said that the gospel is the gospel of grace. And he said, and if any man teach you any other gospel, this is in Galatians chapter 1, if any man teach you any other gospel, he says, let me just tell you how weighty this is. If any man teach you any other gospel, let them be accursed. It's the gospel of grace. And when it's grace, he always gets the credit. Come on, right? Because I'm preaching him and who we are in him. But sometimes what needs to happen is our eyes need to be open so that we can see. So that we are coming from a different perspective always out of our spirit instead of out of the natural. Instead of getting up in the morning and saying, oh my goodness, look, this week's been this, and this week's been this, and this week's been that, and I can live out of everything going on around me. I can be like the servant and say, look at all the stuff going on around me, or I can live out of fact. You say, greater is he that's in me than all this going on around me. Come on. It's a completely different mindset. I'm living now out of grace instead of out of my own ability. Come on, right? Think about this. And I'm not pointing anybody out, but I'm telling you, church, we a majority of the time we come from this perspective over here. I've done it myself. I start services by saying, it doesn't matter what type of morning you've had. It doesn't matter how bad. It doesn't matter if you had two flats on the way here. It doesn't matter how kind of week you had. It doesn't. What am I doing? I'm always coming from this over here. I'm always the servant saying, look, we're surrounded. It doesn't matter how bad you're surrounded. The truth of the matter is, but when are we going to make that paradigm shift to where we're no longer coming from that and starting from that point all the time to where we're starting from this point over here? Does that make sense? To where instead of always seeing all that, we're always living out of the inside of this. Oh, the world is going crazy. Come on, and the Bible says, in the world you'll have what? Tribulation and trouble. That's the case. I can live looking at all that and be motivated by that and always be living out of my natural, or I can no longer regard myself according to the natural and live out of the inward of my spirit. And on the inward of my spirit, it says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And if God be for you, it doesn't matter who is what against you. And that's not an easy thing to do, because what we have to do is we have to shift from living a life by sight, walking by sight, and living a life by what? Help me out. Faith, which is living by the Spirit. Come on. Does that make sense? And so, man, my paradigm shift in my being is going from here to where I live here. Okay? Negative things happen, yeah. Tribulation happen, yeah. Crazy things happen, yeah. All those things happen. I can slip back over there, or I can say, you know what? I'm not living according to what I see. I'm living according to what? Christ in me. Flesh, spirit. Does that make sense? We have the ability to live either way. So, man, time is just perfect tonight. I got 10 more minutes. So this righteousness and holiness that we are created in. Again, holiness is not me doing something. Holiness is me living out of something in me. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? Come on, I mean, I can try to be holy. I can try to live according to the law. I can do that, but the Bible says that I cannot be justified that way. So what I have to do is I have to live out of my spirit, where I've been. The truth is, I've been created in true holiness and true righteousness. So you know what a big lie from the enemy is? Big lie of the enemy is that, guys, we can't look at the opposite sex without lust. That's a lie. But it's a lie we've said from the pulpit. It's a lie that we've said at men's meetings. It's a lie that we've said at men's conferences. I've said it. I've had people say it to me. That's the way God created us. That's the way God designed us. God designed us that way. And so we just have to make sure that we, the truth of the matter is, that's there. But if I've been created in true righteousness and true holiness, I have to quit regarding myself according to the old and start regarding myself according to the what? New. And when I start regarding myself according to the new and not the old, guess what happens? The old loses its power over me. Because I'm no longer seeing myself that way. I'm coming from this starting point. Our starting place is our finish line. We talked about that. We're finished in Christ. Amen? All right, let's get into a couple of scriptures this evening, and we're going to wrap up at 8. Someone said, hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And you think we're going to start in 4? No, we're going to start in 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. I love that saying. Grace is more than just favor. It's God's nature in us. We're going to see that here. Be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Right? What are they? Precious promises. Great and precious promises. Now, was Isaac, what did God promise Abraham? Father of many what? When he had no son, he promised Abraham what? Father. He'd be a son, right? Okay. How did Abraham, the Bible tells us how Abraham received that promise. Did he receive it by works? He received it by what? Faith. So the promises of God are received by what? Faith. How to receive salvation? By faith. Come on, right? So the promises are received by faith, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, what's he saying? Through what? The promises that we receive by faith, that through these you may be partakers of the divine what? Nature. In true righteousness and in true what? Holiness. That's who we are. Okay? That we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. Now, the word divine there means godlike. It literally comes from the word that the word God comes from, theos. So it means divine, godlike. Okay? The word nature there means the inner nature, the divine nature. Okay? Godlike nature. The underlining makeup of someone or something. So when it says that we can be partakers of the divine nature, what it's saying is the makeup of God, the nature of God, okay, we get to be a what? Partaker of. How? Through the promises. And how do we receive the promises? By faith. Now, the word partaker, I love this. I'm going to give you this definition. The word partaker means a joint participant. Okay? It means joint participant. It means a participant who mutually belongs and shares. It means to be the partner of one doing something. I love that last definition. Okay? A partaker of the divine nature. It means to be the partner of one doing something. Okay? So I'm the participant. I'm the partaker of the one who's what? Doing something. I get to participate. I'm a joint participant. I'm a joint partaker in the one who's doing something. Come on, this is grace. Jesus got to participate with the Father. He said, the works that I do, I don't do the works. It's the Father what? Does them. It's fine. He said, I don't do anything. I only do what I see my Father do. My Father's been working till now, so I've been working till now. He said, I can't do anything except the Father do it. Jesus was a joint participant with the Father. We are a joint participant with the Son. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He's the one doing, we're the one that is participating with the one doing. Does that make sense? This is grace. We're no longer under the old, but we're living under grace. We have been created. We have been designed for good works, but those works are supposed to be fruits of the Spirit. Come on, right? And not us doing something. So we are partakers, participants, joint participants in somebody doing something. So I get to participate with God, just like Jesus did. If I see someone and get a chance to pray with someone for something, I'm not the one doing it. I'm just getting to be what? A joint participant in the divine nature. I get to just be the branch that the vine will flow through to bring life. Amen? So through the precious promises, we get to partake in what? The divine what? The nature, the underlining nature, God, the divine nature, God's nature, through the precious promises. We get to partake in that in Jesus' name. Not under the old, but under what? The new. All right. We are going to wrap up. In Ephesians, we said that you need to be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. Go with me here real quick, and we're going to wrap up with this scripture so that I can be a person of my word. Romans chapter 8. Now, we read in Romans, and let me ask you this question. Are you in the flesh or in the spirit? You're in the spirit, right? Okay. So we're in the spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, and we're also going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Okay? For those who live according to the what? Flesh, set their minds on the things of the what? Flesh. And immediately we think the things of the flesh again are all those horrible, nasty sins. That's what, when we see things of the flesh, but I'm telling you, did you see tonight that it's not just those things, it's also trying to justify yourself. It's also trying to earn God's grace. It's also trying to earn God's love. It's also trying to do something. Flesh isn't just all that nasty stuff that we so many times attribute it to. It says those who walk according to the flesh set their mind on the things of what? The flesh. We found out that the flesh also is the letter. The flesh also is the old, right? Okay? So if we want to walk according to flesh, well, all we have to do is set our mind on the things of the flesh. But if we want to walk according to the Spirit, we have to set our mind on the things of the what? The Spirit. In Galatians, Paul said this. He said, you have begun in the Spirit. Are you now going to become perfect through the flesh? So it's not just the sins, it's not just stealing, it's not just lust, it's not just adultery, it's not just fornication, it's not all those nasty things that we always attribute to the flesh. Living according to the flesh, or setting your mind according to the things of the flesh, is anything that's not according to the Spirit. But you're not in the flesh, you're in the what? Spirit. But here's the key. If you want, you're in the Spirit, but if you want to walk according to the Spirit, you have to renew your mind, or you have to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. So I can no longer set my mind on the things back here. I've got to set my mind on the things over here. I've got to set my mind on true righteousness. I've got to set my mind on true holiness. And I got to quit saying, well, I'm just a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I've been created a new creation. Never seen before. Sinners have been seen before. I'm a saint in what God has done. I've got to set my mind on this. If I continue to set my mind on this back here, I will walk according to this. But if I set my mind on this over here, I will walk according to the Spirit. Now, look at this in Romans verse 8. Now, verse 9 says you're not in the spirit, I mean the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. So then those who are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. So there again we said, well, what does it mean to be in the flesh? What means they're fornicators, they're adulterers, they're all these different things? No, that's not just it. They can have their mind set on this over here, and it says you can't what? What did it say you can't do what when you're in the flesh? You can't please God. In Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11, okay, flesh, works, death, spirit, life, grace. What's the opposite of works? Faith. Works, faith. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the Spirit can. Those who are trying to earn anything from God through works, you can't please them. It will always fall short. If you think getting up tomorrow morning and praying 5 hours is going to do something for God, I'm telling you, if you're doing it from a work standpoint, it will not please Him. Your prayer has to come from faith. Because the Bible says that when we pray in faith, we will receive what we need. ask for. Come on, right? Hebrews, it says this, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Being in the flesh is not just being in all those nasty things we always talk about, all those sins. Being in the flesh can also be trusting in your own works. Why I go to church 3 times a week. Why I read my Bible every morning. I do all these things. And I'm telling you, it's very sneaky. It's very, very sneaky, because what happens is the enemy uses this to undermine our faith. We say, Father, I thank you today. Something's going on in my life. God, I thank you for your favor. I need your help in the time of need. I need your grace to help me. We're believing for that. And all of a sudden the enemy comes and says, brother, whoa, 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 whoa. The preacher just preached about, you know, can't just get with God on Sundays. And it's now Thursday. And let me ask you a question. How many times have you prayed since Sunday at church? Oh, man, that's right. And he tries to disqualify you and drag you back over here. My Bible tells me that when I go into the throne of grace, it's always mercy that opens the door. And I can always find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight for this, your word. We thank you for your goodness in our life, God. I just pray that the Holy Spirit continue to cause us to explode on the inside of each and every one of us, Father. Living, God, out. Living from the Spirit and not according to flesh. Setting our mind, our thoughts on the things of the Spirit. And not allowing our minds to be set on the things of the flesh. God, it's not just lust. It's not just those things, Father God. It's literally setting our mind on what you've said, what you've created, what you've done, all the things that you've done in us. True holiness, true righteousness, it's your work in us. It's not something that we do. And Father, I just thank you tonight for this word. Holy Spirit, as we leave this place, I thank you that you go with us. You continue to teach us, show us things as we hunger and thirst. The Bible says we'll be filled. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys tonight. I appreciate your attentiveness. 8:04. I ended my message. I prayed for 4 minutes. I don't know, maybe. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. I love Wednesday nights. Be blessed.